This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The wildfire intensity rises. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 12. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The flames in Northern California are now being blamed on at least 23 deaths and the destruction of some 3,500 homes, businesses, and other buildings.
President Trump is lashing out at NBC News for its story on nukes. He's also pushing his tax reform ideas in Pennsylvania.
In baseball, the Yankees completed an improbable comeback to eliminate the Indians in five games, while the Cubs and Nationals play a deciding Game 5 tonight.
And given the creepy news, Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein, how common is sexual harassment and groping?
Well, I think if you ask many women, they will tell you at some point in their life, somebody has grabbed them, has taken liberties, has thought it's okay to touch them when they didn't want to be touched. So I think it's pretty common.
Robin DeLuca is a health psychologist. She joins us in about 10 minutes to discuss why guys like Harvey Weinstein do what they do. The numbers and the flames are still growing in Northern California. Windy conditions returned yesterday, making it difficult for firefighters to battle raging wildfires that have now killed 23 people and destroyed some 3,500 homes, buildings, and wineries. Hundreds are missing in what are called chaotic evacuations. Cal Fire Chief Ken Pimlott says nearly two dozen blazes are burning across eight counties, with more than 17,000 acres consumed.
We are still impacted by 5 years of drought. With significant rain that we had last winter, those effects are gone of that moisture, and we are literally looking at explosive vegetation.
The entire town of Calistoga in Napa Valley was spared from flames when they first broke out Sunday evening, but all 5,000 residents were told to get out last night because of advancing conditions from the so-called Tubbs Fire. Investigators think one of the deadliest wildfire outbreaks in history began when gale force winds toppled power lines four nights ago. One fire official said some of the victims were asleep when the fast-moving fires broke out, igniting their homes before they could escape. President Trump is back to pressing tax reform. During a speech in Pennsylvania to truckers yesterday, he argued it would benefit workers like them, while ripping Democrats in Congress as obstructionists who want to raise taxes. Despite his criticism of Democrats, the president did express optimism that a tax reform bill could get passed. He's been traveling the country to promote a plan that would dramatically cut corporate tax rates from 35% to 20%, reduce the number of personal income brackets, and boost the standard deduction.
My Council of Economic Advisors estimates that this change, along with a lower tax rate, would likely give the typical American household a $4,000 pay raise.
Taxes are seen as the chief priority for Republicans hungry for a major legislative achievement. With the 2018 campaign year looming, GOP lawmakers want something to show for their time as the majority party. But some Republicans from high tax states are concerned about calls for eliminating the federal deduction for state and local taxes. President Trump is denying he's interested in a tenfold increase in the nation's nuclear arsenal, saying such a move was totally unnecessary, and lashed out at NBC News for reporting it. Mr. Trump told reporters yesterday that he's interested in modernization and total rehabilitation of the nuclear arsenal. NBC News reported yesterday morning that the president told national security officials at a July meeting that he wanted a nearly tenfold increase in the U.S. nuclear arsenal.
I never discussed, I think somebody said, I want 10 times the nuclear weapons that we have right now. Right now, we have so many nuclear weapons. I want them in perfect condition, perfect shape. That's the only thing I've ever discussed.
The Defense Department says the U.S. nuclear arsenal currently amounts to about 4,000 warheads, down from a peak of about 30,000 in the 1960s. Mr. Trump called the nuclear weapons story pure fiction and went so far as to suggest on Twitter that NBC and other news organizations should have their broadcasting licenses challenged. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. Ask any woman you know if she's experienced unwanted touching or suggestive comments in her life. It happens at work, in the gym, at a bar, even simply walking down the street sometimes. Certainly happens in Hollywood, as we've discovered lately with powerhouse producer Harvey Weinstein. Why does the culture of sexual harassment persist? Insight from health psychologist Dr. Robin DeLuca, research assistant professor at Stony Brook University in New York. Doctor, is this a common thing?
Well, I think if you ask many women, they will tell you at some point in their life, somebody has grabbed them, have taken liberties, has thought it's okay to touch them when they didn't want to be touched. So I think it's pretty common.
I know one of the issues that's arisen here with the Harvey Weinstein case is women seemingly having gone silent on this out of fear, I guess, for not being able to get work in Hollywood. Is that common also?
Well, I think a lot of women, when they come forward, they can get shunned, they can get blackballed in an industry, and I think most women who tolerate it probably are doing so simply because they need a job and they just can't up and quit.
So what do they do? What are they supposed to do?
Dodge it as well as they can. When I was in college, I worked in the kitchen, and there was a cook who was, you know, fast with his hands, and you just learned to do a dance to stay away from him.
Boy, but not go forward and report it because you needed the job, for example?
Exactly. I needed that money to buy my books for school and take care of my basics, so I felt like there was nothing I could do.
We're getting off topic here, but I presume you felt some pressure to say something in some way just so he wouldn't do it to others.
Well, I would warn other girls, sure. Yeah. I certainly did that.
Man, oh man. So what is it about a guy like that?
Well, I think when men are in a lot of power, they think it gives them the power to have whatever they want. And certainly an attractive young woman is a trophy in our culture. So they think if I can get to have income and perks and all other kinds of things, this is something I can have too.
Hmm. You get the sense that that more women are coming out about this stuff or not necessarily?
Well, I certainly think in the last 20 years, many more women are. It all started with the Anita Hill case when she was brave enough to testify against Clarence Thomas, and that was the beginning of much more of a cultural consciousness of sexual harassment. So I think we've certainly seen the numbers of complaints filed to the EEOC and a higher number of women willing to go public.
Mm. I know it was at least suggested by Donna Karan, the fashion mogul, that perhaps some women invite this stuff. Are you of that belief?
I have a hard time believing that. I think most women want to do their job and be recognized for doing their job well without having to pay some extra sex tax.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dr. Robin DeLuca, health psychologist, also a research assistant professor at Stony Brook University, talking about the Harvey Weinstein situation and what kind of guy to look out for here. Is there a way to sort of profile somebody like this?
Oh, to know where it's going to come from, I don't know. I mean, I think power can be really intoxicating, and you just have to keep your eyes open and be as aware as you can, know what the culture is of a company that you're going to work for, and, of course, speak to other women.
Yeah. What about being biologically wired? Is that possible?
Well, I think that's kind of questionable. I think men are certainly biologically wired to want to have sex, but so are women. But there have been social customs for a long time that encourage men more than women to act on that desire. You know, when a man sleeps with a lot of women, he's a player. But a woman who sleeps with a lot of men in our culture is a slut.
Yeah.
So historically, men have taken women as prizes in warfare, and women continue to be trophies for them now. I think we have a lot of social customs that have encouraged this idea that a woman is something for a man to have.
Is that culture changing at all or no?
In some places, yes. Some places, no. I mean, I think in an industry where it's either predominantly male or predominantly men in power, certainly like Hollywood, that's where you see more of it. You know, you look at the tech companies, and the few women who actually do get hired into them are more likely to quit because they say the sexual harassment is so prevalent.
It's Dr. Robin DeLuca, health psychologist and research assistant professor at Stony Brook University. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gwinnett wildfires, already well on their way to becoming the deadliest and most destructive in California history, could gain momentum today and erase even the modest gains firefighters have made. Steady winds with nearly non-existent humidity are expected to descend on the areas north of San Francisco, where at least 23 people have died and at least 3,500 homes and businesses have been destroyed. State Fire Chief Ken Pimlott.
We're not out of the woods, and we're not going to be out of the woods for a great number of days to come.
Entire cities have evacuated in anticipation of the next wave. The North American Free Trade Agreement is in its 23rd year. There are growing doubts it will survive its 24th. President Trump is threatening to withdraw from the agreement if he can't get what he wants in a renegotiation.
We'll see what happens. We have a tough negotiation, and it's something that you will know in the not too distant future.
What Trump wants, from requiring that more auto production be made in the U.S. to shifting more government contracts to U.S. companies, will likely be unacceptable to Mexico and Canada. 10 people have been arrested on hazing charges in the death of an LSU fraternity pledge whose blood alcohol content was more than 6 times the legal limit for driving. One of the 10 suspects also faces a felony negligent homicide charge in the death of 18-year-old Maxwell Groover, a freshman who was trying to join Phi Delta Theta. Police say Groover was singled out and forced to drink hard liquor because he was having trouble reciting the Greek alphabet. Didi Gregorius homered twice off Corey Kluber as the Yankees beat the Indians 5-2 last night in Cleveland in the decisive Game 5 of the ALDS. Gregorius says he waited for the pitch he wanted in his first home run.
The first at bat, you know, he threw me a really nasty cutter and a swing and miss. I think, and then after that, he tried to come in with another fastball with 2 strikes, and I ended up putting a really good swing on it, and it put us up in the first inning.
The Yankees staved off elimination for the 4th time in this postseason and advanced to play the Astros in the ALCS starting tomorrow night. In the National League, the Cubs and Nationals will play a win-or-go-home Game 5 tonight.
This just seems to be a lot more humility these days when guys talk about some of this stuff. Right? He just said, I got a good swing on it. You know, he came inside with a fastball rather than, I was looking for that meatball and I crushed it.
Right? Yeah, they're kind of low key, this team.
It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. Tens of millions of Americans checked their credit score or credit report in the first 2 weeks after the massive Equifax data breach was announced. The total number was 61 million who checked, according to creditcards.com. We asked senior industry analyst Matt Schultz at creditcards.com if that was a good number.
It's still a good number. It's about a quarter of the adult population of the U.S., and for that amount of people to take any sort of action in a 2-week period is pretty good. However, it's still not enough by any stretch, and we also saw that about 1/3 of the population said that they hadn't even heard anything about the Equifax breach. So that's disturbing in and of itself.
Oh, wow. So not to point a finger, but is this the millennial generation who's mostly guilty here?
Well, it's interesting. There's the interesting split that we've seen a lot of times in data about millennials, where younger millennials, so folks 18 to, say, 26, are very different from older millennials, say, you know, mid-20s to mid-30s. Hmm. So young millennials were the most clueless about the Equifax breach, and a full half of them didn't even know that it had happened. But older millennials were the most likely to have checked their credit in that first 2-week period. About 1/3 of them did. So it's just further proof that there's no such thing as one typical millennial.
Wow. That's kind of a fascinating number, because I would have thought that for the millennials who I associate, or the younger millennials who I associate being on their phone a lot, like this would have popped up in some sort of social media feed, like as a top story, the Equifax breach.
Yeah, and it might have, and they just might have seen Equifax and just not known what it was, okay, or not been that interested. Because frankly, when you're you know 18 to 25 years old, it's that may not be that relevant of a thing to you. Whereas when you're in your upper 20s and low 30s, life has changed a lot. and you might have a house, you might have a kid, you might be married. Life and your finances are certainly different at that point.
Yeah. We're speaking with Matt Schultz, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com, talking about their new survey, which finds 61 million Americans checked their credit soon after the Equifax breach. All right, this thing was so big, right? Some 145 million accounts affected. If you didn't check, what's the advice? You should, and if you have checked, it's worthwhile to check again?
Yeah, if you haven't checked your credit, you need to do so really soon. And even if you have, it's a good idea to start building credit checks into your regular financial routine.
Thanks, Matt. That's Matt Schultz at creditcards.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, October 12, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Now 23 dead from the California wildfires. Trump denies he wants a larger nuclear arsenal. House votes today on a $36 billion package for disaster relief. An asteroid the size of a house zipped past Earth this morning, just 26,000 miles away. Actor Ben Affleck apologized on Twitter for groping MTV host Hillary Burton. NFL commish wants players to stand for the anthem. We'll see how the Panthers and Eagles handle things tonight and how Napa Valley businesses are helping communities hit by wildfires. That story in about 20 minutes. A breach of South Korea's military database by suspected North Korean hackers, in which South Korean and U.S. military secrets were stolen, originated in compromised third-party cybersecurity software. In addition, the Wall Street Journal says it was made possible by an unintended connection to the internet. The cyber assault in September last year was a surprise because it occurred within a military intranet, believed to have been cut off from the internet and therefore protected from outside hacks. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Timothy Martin in Seoul, South Korea. Tim, what do we have?
So North Korean hackers allegedly pilfered a South Korean database and made off with a tremendous amount of military secrets, classified military secrets, including a joint U.S.-South Korean plan of how they would topple the Kim Jong-un regime if a military conflict broke out. South Korean officials are still trying to dig through and identify all of what's been stolen. Currently, about 22% of it has been identified. And the method with which North Korean hackers made their way into this server was quite unique. It implanted malware onto the very antivirus software that the South Korean military thought was protecting itself. And, you know, while the exact details are still being learned, the portal with which North Korean hackers were able to make their way in was a internet connection that, due to a recent move in the data center facility, was left on for a year, and that triggered an influential lawmaker here in Korea to call this a ridiculous mistake.
So it's like there was some sort of jack that actually tied an intranet to the internet.
Yes, this according to this lawmaker, they said the hack was possible because of a failure to remove a connector jack linking this internet to the internet.
Wow.
So normally, an internet is safe from outside, or presumably safe from an outside attack, because it's all insular. But unbeknownst to the military, there was an outside link.
Was this a surprise that North Korea may be more advanced technologically than some people thought, or is it because of the mistake that really allowed hackers to achieve this?
North Korea is certainly not lacking in effort in terms of its attempts to penetrate key South Korean infrastructure. Local experts believe South Korean government agencies and groups are subjected to 1.4 million attempted attacks a day.
Wow.
So the fact that they're trying is not unusual. The fact that, but the reality that they made off with 235 gigabytes of data has reinforced and has really startled cybersecurity experts here locally, who tell me that this is one of the most severe attacks North Korea has ever unleashed on the South.
Jeez. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Tim Martin in Seoul, South Korea. His piece is called "Ridiculous Mistake: Let North Korea Steal Secret U.S. War Plans." So at this point, do they know, for example, that like South Korea's other infrastructure wasn't severely damaged by this, or could it have been?
That's, to the fullest extent, if North Korea wanted to go complete devastation, what exactly their capabilities are is still unknown. Obviously, the power grid has never been turned off. The banking system in a sort of comprehensive nature has never been messed with. So, based on that, obviously, if they desired to and wanted to, they haven't as of, October of 2017. But the deeper North Korean attacks go, it signals that not only is the motivation and desire there, also their abilities and techniques are improving. South Korean experts tell me that the abilities of the hackers has improved in recent years quite dramatically, and there is more organization, which at one point had been sort of one large group, and then several other major groups. They're now sort of orchestrating attacks.
Thanks, Tim. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Tim Martin with us today from Seoul, South Korea. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It is Friday Eve. Welcome aboard. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the comeback is complete. The Yankees have won, which means the social media shade can officially commence. According to BleacherReport.com, Cleveland fans may find themselves regretting all those 3-1 jokes they made following the 2016 NBA Finals for years to come. After the Indians blew a 2-0 lead over the Yankees in the ALDS, New York's Instagram account had some fun at Cleveland's expense following the contest's final out, posting a picture of starter CC Sabathia along with the caption, "Final, Yankees 5, the team that blew a 2-0 series lead, 2.
Ooh.
that's not bad. The Yankees also trolled Cleveland infielder Jose Ramirez via Twitter, who on Sunday had tweeted, "We're 3-0 at Yankee Stadium this year, cupcake." Early this morning, the Yankees retweeted that popular post with the caption, "We like cupcakes and champagne."
Oh, man.
Not bad.
The Yankees are killing them.
In a few short hours, that response has already been liked and retweeted nearly 30,000 times.
Wow. Are you among those, as a Mets fan, are you among those who retweeted that?
I did not, but I have to say, as a Mets fan and definitely not a Yankees fan, I am enjoying what they're doing with their social media. The Yankees, kind of considered a very buttoned-up organization.
Yes.
Kind of a little bit staid.
Uh-huh.
I like that they're having some fun on social media.
Boy, that is something. What a comeback, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This was an organization, by the way, headed by Joe Girardi in the dugout, and fans wanted him gone,
right?
I believe, what, two games ago?
Just a couple days ago.
Just a few hours ago, actually.
Yes, yes. Maybe you get a rousing ovation when they come back to the stadium
and
for
now,
the championship series.
After further consideration, Joe Girardi can stick around.
Maybe just for a little while. And, Gordon, just when you thought that having elections under scrutiny for possible tampering was just a U.S. thing, enter the New Zealand Bird of the Year poll. According to the BBC, the prestigious and some would say heated competition is run by the country's forest and bird organization and has run into controversy just 3 days after its launch. It appears that one unnamed Christchurch citizen has been flouting the one-person, one-vote rule by setting up 112 email accounts to cast votes for a certain avian variety, the white-faced heron. A scientist spotted the irregularity and let the organization know. Measures have now been put into place to prevent further fraud. Though the folks at Forest and Bird don't seem too angry about it, just impressed that someone cares enough about the New Zealand's native birds to rig the competition. It's not the first time that the Bird of the Year competition has made national headlines due to fraudulent voting. In 2015, two teenage girls owned up to creating fake accounts to vote for their favorite bird.
This is a real thing, huh, in New Zealand?
Apparently this is what folks are up to in New Zealand.
I think earlier this week I recapped my list of things that you can do that would be more productive with your time.
Right.
I won't go over that again.
But that list also applies.
Yeah, that list applies here. How about, by the way, just the effort of setting up 112 email accounts and therefore 112 passwords.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Having to remember all the passwords.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What if there's a revote? You know, then you got to dial up all those passwords. Yeah, that's a lot of work for a bird. 13 minutes now. In front of the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Here's the 1-2. Strike three is called. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. I got to say, after coming from 0-2 down and winning three straight, that's the best you got, John? I mean, that's some pretty emotional stuff. You win three games like that? I don't know. I expect a little more of a guy who's known for his shtick. Anyway, Jennifer's along with more news in just a moment. Meanwhile, the holiday hiring season is here, and it may come with a gift for employees this year. The potential for extra hours. A low unemployment rate means both potential and existing employees have a competitive edge this year among an array of seasonal job opportunities. Here's a list of who's hiring around the U.S. from USA Today. Macy's plans to hire about 80,000 temporary workers. Target recently announced its minimum wage is rising. It plans to hire 100,000 temporary workers. JCPenney adding 40,000 seasonal employees this year. Workers, by the way, there get a 25% discount on merch. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, authorities in Northern California are pouring through a list of hundreds reported missing amid fierce wildfires and working through the cases one at a time. Investigators are starting at shelters looking for evacuees and working their way back to homes to see if they got out alive. While many of the missing have simply been unable to communicate with loved ones, authorities say the death toll of 23 is bound to rise. Sonoma County Sheriff Robert Giordano.
I'm optimistic that we'll get a lot of people just connected. They're just in different places. Everybody's moving so fast.
Friends and relatives are desperately checking hospitals and shelters and pleading on social media for help finding loved ones. President Trump pitched his tax plan to truckers outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania yesterday as his administration tries to persuade Congress to pass reform legislation.
We want lower taxes. bigger paychecks and more jobs for American truckers and for American workers.
The president emphasized that his plan is pro-family, pro-business, and pro-growth. Many of the tax plan goals he mentioned would not apply to the truckers in the crowd, but to company owners. The Boy Scouts have announced that girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and to earn the coveted rank of Eagle Scout, the organization's highest honor. Boy Scouts CEO Michael Serbaugh says the choice to admit girls will be up to local PACs.
As soon as we bring young women in, we want to make sure that our individual volunteer leaders at the PAC level, that they're prepared. That they also need to make decisions as to whether they will remain an all-boy PAC or if they would have girls and boys involved.
Serbaugh says it's critical that the Boy Scouts evolve their programs to meet the needs of families interested in positive and lifelong experiences for their children. If you have a keen interest in space travel and history, you might be interested in an auction that goes live today and runs for several weeks. Skinner Auctioneers is selling 445 rare photos taken by astronauts such as John Glenn, who was the first person to snap a photo of Earth from outer space, and Neil Armstrong, who took the first picture from the moon's surface.
Very nice. Thank you, Jen. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. As multiple fires rage around Napa, California, local businesses are opening their doors to help the community connect with their loved ones. Over 53,000 customers are still without power throughout California, most of them in Napa and Sonoma. CNN says Compline Wine Bar, Napa Cigars, and Blackbird Inn, all in downtown Napa, have power and are offering a safe place for residents. Compline Wine Bar is also a restaurant, and it has teamed up with other local businesses to make lunches for first responders. They plan to continue to make meals for the first responders as supplies permit. Napa Cigars is a local cigar bar and lounge that's open for anyone to come use its Wi-Fi or just smoke a cigar to get their mind off the wildfire. At Blackbird Inn, the bed and breakfast there has special discounted rates for evacuees. It offers hot meals and cookies for guests. If you're evacuating with a small pet, it has a room for you, too. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.